Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the nervous hospital that is Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. And this week, something a little special here, Hoodie.
Ooh, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about episode one of our Walk of Shame.
Yeah, that's me.
The Walk of Shame.
Get yours out of way.
Typically, we just pick a film from Netflix Instant.
Right.
We're doing something a little unique here. Walk of Shame. If you're going through Netflix, you see the film, you say, I'm humiliated. I'm ashamed. I don't feel like a man because I have not seen that film.
Right.
How have I not seen this film? Right. That's the film you're going to select. That's
every other person you know or have known has seen it.
Yeah, like you hide in shame. Like look away.
You lie.
Yeah, you lie. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that part. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah
that yeah. Part where he drives the car. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, it was nice.
So Hoodie's going to lead this one off, and we'll get to that in a minute. We will reveal the film.
Right.
Let's get into some quick introductions real quickly here. I'm Michael, your host.
Hi, I'm Michael.
Yeah. And to my left, as always, there he is. We're talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm all right, Savage. How are you doing? Did you have a good week?
I did. How are you?
I had a good week, Savage.
Yeah?
Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Well, I got a really good deal on potted meat.
Did you?
First of all. I had a bit of a snag, though.
Yeah?
Walked in. Saw my mother. She was with Jesse Dixon.
Ah, that's never a good thing.
Terrible situation.
Did you see Red?
I just saw Red. I did.
These are all hints of what the movie
is. Exactly. So, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't have to go back to the nervous hospital. Had a good week. So, yeah, there's your clue. Fast forward to the
Several
review
clues.
Now. Yeah, but what?
Because everybody knows what this movie is.
No.
Only one guy
has
seen it.
We have five people here, and four have only seen this film currently before we decided to cue it. So that means there's others out there, Max.
I'm sure.
And
don't be ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
Yeah. Come forward.
My name is Matt, and I haven't seen this movie.
And to your left.
Hello, Matt.
Hi, Matt. And hi, Matt.
Hey.
Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hi.
The patron saint of high-quality outerwear.
Hello. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm out.
Yeah, he's out. He's proud. He's loud.
That's right.
And to your left, we're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
What's happening?
In Gumbo. Would potted meat suffice in a
no.
pinch? In a pinch.
No.
In a pinch, Max.
Nope.
What about boudin?
What about boudin?
No.
Even with mustard?
No.
five for a dollar, Max.
I don't care. Okay. Then you're wasting your time making boudin with five for a dollar potted meat.
That's Max terrible. Gumbo Johnson, the Cajun Connection, the Cajun Express, the Raging Cajun. That's our guy right there. He
wow.
comes in all the time. Great attitude.
When's somebody cook for me? Come on.
I'll bring us some potted meat. Five for a dollar. I could have fed y'all for a buck tonight.
I said cook.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see who's cooking over there behind the producing cube, and that is our producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers, the greatest producer in the history of this Cube Filmcast.
History.
And here it comes. What you got?
Hi.
That's all we need. Let's talk about the film in question. Let's do that right now. Let's reveal that. This is our Walk of Shame.
Mm.
I'm ashamed to say I have not seen what?
Sling Blade. It's Sling Blade.
Sling Blade, uh-huh. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And you haven't seen this film. 1996. How have you not seen this film? Do you have electricity at your house?
That's mean.
Are you Amish?
That's meaner.
No, actually. You know, my life is full of films like this. So, yeah, interesting pick, man. It's on Netflix. You want to queue it up and see what the fuss is.
Right.
No, I didn't.
It's We're the name the of the shame. Game.
No, all my friends in high school had all seen it. I hadn't. And then they all talked like him for months. And it was just all of that. It was just like you guys tonight. And I said, I hate this movie.
I'm not doing it.
I'm never watching this movie ever. I've done a pretty good job.
I'm completely trying to restrain myself.
I had a good run. I know. I know you are. I know you all are, and I appreciate that.
I'm going to sneak one in later. Can I have one, please? Yeah, just one later?
They're going to creep in.
We should all do an impression.
It's so overdone. I'm not doing it.
They're going to creep in.
All right, so that's the film. We're talking about Sling Blade 1996, and we're talking about the directed. You put a director in a film, and he acts, he's a director. And this is like thick director. I mean, this is like every scene, here's your director.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Nice.
See, they're going to creep in.
They are. They will creep in. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. Really, his big punch into Hollywood. I mean, this was like, boom, I'm on the scene, guys. Here I am.
Yeah,
it was a powerhouse.
It was a powerhouse, man. So that's the film. Let's get into that here in a bit. But first thing, let's talk about how to keep up with us. Look, you know, we do this every week. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google+, YouTube. But why do that, Savage? Why do that when you can just go to thecufilmcast.net? Yep, I reckon so. Thecufilmcast.net. And also, you know, go to iTunes. Five-star review. Go there. Give us a review. Five-star punch. We like that.
We want those five-star
reviews. Fun, too. We've been getting a few of those lately, actually. I'll reveal that to you guys later. Yeah, but iTunes and thecufilmcast.net. We love feedback. So there you go. All right. It's Walk of Shame time in the queue. So here we go. You guys ready? Cue up the conversation. Sling Blade, 1996, directed by Billy Bob Thornton. It was kind of his calling card to give me a shot.
Sure.
And they gave him a shot with this film. It stars Billy Bob, Dwight Yoakam.
Boofdag.
He's just an a-hole, I think. John Ritter, the late John Ritter, who was a kid I loved. Jack Tripper.
Yeah.
J.T. Walsh, the late J.T. Walsh.
Late J.T. Walsh. Yeah.
Lucas Black, Natalie Cannerday, and Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall!
Whoa! Coming in hot off the bench. Coming in hot off the bench, Robert Duvall. Yeah, scared the living hell right out of me. Scared the biscuits and mustard right out of me, man. Inspired our top three. They also inspired top three producer. You know that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, and what did this inspire? Why don't you tell the audience what this inspired? Top three what? Characters who had it coming. How's that?
Yeah, I didn't have my notes. Right.
I set that on the tee. I polished it. I put the bat in your hand.
Set it on the tee and put a bat in his hand?
Yeah, again, it's T-ball.
Oh.
Inspires our top three film characters who had it coming. Had it coming? Coming. And let's talk about what the critics gave this film. Let's do this. IMDb, and I'm going to defer to Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
8.4.
Ooh, you're close in the margin of error.
Ooh.
What is it?
8.1.
No, not bad.
Look at that.
What?
James Heartsome Savage, as I used to say. Critics, what do you think Rotten Tomatoes gave the film 1996 Sling Blade?
Critics, 84.
96.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. 96. Critics loving it.
It's no 100%, but it's up there.
It's up there.
It's no anatomy of a murder. That's right.
It's no anatomy of a murder. I mean, you're splitting hairs. You couldn't split them with a lawnmower blade, but you could split them. Users, I was going to ask you, producer, but sit back there in your producing queue because you already know the answer.
Yeah.
You already know the answer. You're looking at it. But I'm going to ask.
I had it on the screen.
I'm not going to look.
Don't look, Gumbo. Users, Sling Blade, what did they give it?
Rotten Critics tomatoes. Gave it 96, 91.
93. God, you guys are good tonight. I want to get into a bit of a synopsis. I will not do it in Carl's voice.
Thank you.
But God, do I want to, but I won't. Because I could.
I was worried about that.
You know what I want to do? I have this whole thing worked in my brain where Carl and Bane from Batman get into a fight.
You've done it before, I'm sure.
I did it on the way here.
You did
here.
It on the way here, yeah.
I'm telling you, it's funny. You know? Yeah, so you worked for the League of Shadows. Well, I worked for Bill Cox's outfit. Okay. Let's get into this and just forget what I said. Sling Blade marked the directorial debut of country singer turned actor Billy Bob Thornton, who also authored the script. Thornton plays Carl Childers, a mildly retarded man.
Mildly?
Which I don't think he was. Never mind. A mildly retarded man who spent most of his life in a mental institution. When Carl was a boy, he was severely mistreated by his abusive father, played by Robert Duvall. At age 12, Carl found his mother having intercourse with a man who tormented him endlessly. Carl snaps, flies into a homicidal rage, and kills both individuals by decapitating them with a sling blade. Years later, as a middle-aged man, Carl is deemed harmless to society and released from the mental institution where he resides. Carl says he's learned the lesson and adds, "I reckon I ain't got no need to kill no one." He returns home, where he's befriended by Frank, played by Lucas Black, the son of a widowed mother who sees the eccentric but open-hearted Carl as a kindred spirit. Carl also gets a job at a fix-it shop and resides in the back room until Frank's mother, Linda, takes a liking to Carl and lets him stay with them in their garage. However, Carl soon meets Doyle, played by Dwight Yoakam, who's Linda's boyfriend, a sadistically cruel, narrow-minded drunk. who tosses casual abuses at Frank, treats Linda like dirt, and mocks Carl endlessly. Before long, Carl begins to question for what purpose he is best served and whether or not he should sacrifice himself for what he sees as the higher good. The film also stars the late John Ritter, one of Thornton's real-life best friends, as the mild-mannered homosexual who works in the neighborhood dollar store, often giving Carl a great deal on potted meat. So there you go.
That sounds so terrible in the description you gave of Vaughn.
What? I mean, there's nothing wrong.
Well, you said he's homosexual, and it gives Carl a great deal on potted meat.
Let me tell you something.
Wow, that's bad.
If I came in here and said there's a very nice, mild-mannered homosexual man at the dollar store giving me a great deal on potted meat, that's not a bad thing, Max.
The connotation is there.
Yeah. I don't know. Too much detail, I think.
Okay, whatever.
Somebody taught you that language, didn't they?
I reckon. I reckon the one man was from Arkansas. But listen, here's a trailer right here. We're talking about Sling Blade 1996. We'll come back in a minute and tell you what we thought of this one. Here you go.
Well, I reckon what you guys want to know is what I'm doing in here. I killed some folks quite a while back. They told me I'm well from it now.
Why are you letting him out?
He's free. His time's up. That's the rules.
After 25 years, Carl Childers is coming back to his hometown.
Carl, see if you can figure out what's wrong with this thing. It won't crank up and everything seems to be put together, right? It ain't got no gas in it.
Finding a friendship he never had.
My name's Frank Wheatley. What's your name?
Carl's my name.
Who's that strange-looking man behind you?
That's Carl. I met him at the laundromat.
Nice to meet you, Carl.
And a family he has always wanted.
Mama said you can stay over with us. I like the way you talk.
Well, I like the way you talk.
Just how retarded are you?
Stop, though. Mama has a boyfriend. He threatened to kill her if she ever left him.
You're going to learn to live by my rules.
Doyle is a monster.
But when the darkness comes back into his life...
He's mean to you and your mama.
He's forced to make a decision he hasn't had to make in 25 years.
I'm going
to
kill you dead in a doornail.
Q Filmcast, and that's the film right there. We're talking about 1996, Sling Blade. Would you call this a classic at this point, Max?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, it's certainly in some kind of time capsule somewhere.
Yeah, it's a modern classic.
Modern classic, there you go. 1996. Let's get into a little bit of Did You Know? A little bit of facts about the film.
Did you know?
Savage, did you know that in order to make Carl's walk more accurate, awkward, and consistent, Billy Bob Thornton placed crushed glass in his shoe.
Did he just put a rock in there?
How did I know that?
He's a method actor. Don't tell him that he's going to bleed for his art.
Does he hang out with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Could you imagine Daniel Day-Lewis and Daniel Plainview and Carl in business together?
I'd like to see them both auditioning for this.
That would be great.
Right. Did you know, Max Gumbo Johnson, that Billy Bob Thornton said he wrote the role of Vaughn, played by John Ritter, specifically for him?
Yes, I did know that.
They were good buddies.
I did read that. They were cramped, yeah.
Did you know, Savage, that when Doyle tells Linda that retards make him sick, which is terrible, he adds that the same is true for antique furniture and midgets?
Yeah. No, I caught that. I was paying attention.
Crazy.
But I know people who are afraid of midgets.
I did not catch that.
I did. How I get around antique furniture.
They'll make me sick.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
As much as I've seen this film, I missed that. I
swear to God, Linda, it'll make me sick.
Antique furniture and midgets. Did you catch that, producer?
Yes.
Okay. Producer, did you know that Billy Bob Thornton had written the script in longhand at his family house in Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Wow.
Here's an interesting one. I like this one. I'm going to blow your minds. Did you know that fellow independent filmmaker Jim Jarmusch appears as the Frosty Cream worker in the beginning?
I knew I recognized that guy. I cannot place him at all. But
that's Jim Jarmusch. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I was like, I know this guy. How do I know this guy? But I couldn't place him.
It's a young Jim Jarmusch.
Young Jim Jarmusch.
Even gray in his hair. I like this, and I like this knowing this before I watched it again. Did you know that the last spoken word in the movie by Doyle, Vaughn, Frank, and Linda is the same?
Carl?
Almost kind of like, Carl, what you doing, Carl? That's the last line by anybody other than Carl and J.T. Walsh. Carl?
That's interesting. I like that.
And it works for the film, too.
Mm-hmm.
Currency. Let's talk about what we're going to rate this with. Matthew St. Hoodie, you know for a fact we do not use thumbs up. We do not use thumbs down. We let the film tell us what we're going to use. Right. And I think if we even talked about this,
Well, yeah, I think we've tossed.
Hoodie looks at me like, huh? I don't know what we're even doing.
It's French fried taters.
French fried taters. Of course it is. Why not? Come on, you know it's obvious.
He loved them.
He loved them French fried taters.
He could eat three large orders in a row, not even belch.
Max, it's not a large order. It's the biggins.
That's not what Brian. I almost said Brian Cox.
No,
well, Carl.
No, not Carl.
Bill Cox
has said.
That's his outfit. Oh, that's right. He said.
I think Brian Cox has mentioned that though.
Brian Cox probably has mentioned that.
You know, going back into the queue, didn't you say that every movie should have a picture somewhere of Brian Cox in it?
Which wouldn't hurt.
And you said even if it's on someone's desk, it should be in there.
I think.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Yeah, it would be fantastic.
I stand by that. I don't remember it, but I stand by that.
Well, let's get into this thing. Let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie. It's your pick. It's your shameful pick that you have not seen this film. Let's talk about what you gave us. How many French fried taters with mustard on them are you going to throw to this film?
That mustard changes things. I can only go 7 on this one. Maybe it was way better in 1996. I don't know. It was a good movie. It wasn't anything really to write home about, I didn't think, but it was a good movie.
It's certainly one that in 96, if you hadn't seen it, everybody walked out of the theater going,
I know.
Uh-huh.
I remember.
Okay, so 7 for you. We're going to get into, I thought you were going to tank it. I thought the look on your face was like 4.
No, I didn't mind it. It was a good movie. It just was not a fantastic, great film.
Okay. It would have been overhyped over the years, maybe, with all the impersonations.
That's probably it.
You have to temper that against your review, maybe. Yeah, it was 7 for you. Let's go over to Hearts of Savage. Yeah. How many French fry taters with mustard on it?
Mustard
on it's good to me. Yeah. How many are you going to go with?
Yeah, I've seen this many, many times. And I've always had some problems with this film. So I'll stick with Hoodie. I mean, it's a good film, but it's a 7.
7 for you.
It's a 7. Yeah.
Max Gumbo Johnson, what you going with?
I'm going with a 9. I could be moved to a 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
9 for you.
Even though I rarely mentioned that, I'd forgotten how much I liked it and really, really, really
I don't think I've ever heard you mention Sling Blade.
Well, because you figured, what's the point? You've talked about it so much.
I don't know. It's just one of those ones that's just kind of the back of your head and then it gets brought up again. You're like, oh, I forgot how much I liked that movie.
The producer.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about French fried taters. We're talking about Sling Blade. How many are you going to get?
Drum roll, please.
This movie annoys me.
Oh, God.
And I've got some stuff to back this up now.
Okay.
But
I'm sure you do.
I'm going to say 4.
God.
Oh, come on. Didn't he just whip out a film from his collection called Dead Girl and rave about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what we're up against this day. That's where the bar is set, boys.
There's a lot of things that annoy me about this movie.
You're going to get a chance. Yeah. You're going to get a chance.
Like the good script and the good acting.
Actually, it's not a good script.
Uh-oh. And the music was good.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Adam, I'm going to give you the floor for an extended period of time. I want to hear about that.
Yeah.
All right, it's up to me, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get through this real quick. Let me tell you what. I don't want the fact that I've seen this film so many times to tamper my review of it. I was really curious to say, okay, as a critic, I'm going to watch this film for like the 18th time, 20th time. I'm going to go 9 because despite all the window dressing and all the stuff that's fun and quotable and the stuff that's so in your face, the spine of it, which is what makes a movie timeless, the script, the score, the character, the pieces put together, it's still intact all these years. I'm going 9. This is good. How's that? And we'll get into that. I'm going 9 on this.
I'm with you, buddy.
In the end, it's all about the script, man.
I'm double Adam plus 1.
Yeah, the story. Okay, so there you go. How many French fried taters?
36.
36 taters.
36 large orders of fried taters.
Oh, boy. With mustard on them?
I think we could probably eat 2 of those, not even belch.
Hey, I wonder if he would belch after 36 orders.
Man alive. All right, well, let's get into some of the film here. Let's talk about why we landed on these scores. Matthew St. Hoodie. Listen, man, you're in the hot seat. It's your film, so you're going first. You tell me why you gave it 7. Let's talk about what you liked about the film. Let's talk about that.
Billy Bob Thornton, fantastic. And I will admit, before I had seen it this time, I had seen his monologue that he delivers at the beginning, which is...
Yeah, the short.
It really is. Now, I haven't seen the short, but the monologue he delivers to the reporter, that whole scene is just awesome.
That's before you see the word Sling Blade on the
It's great. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I had seen that part, and his delivery of that under the low lights, one shot... Gorgeous. It really doesn't get better than that. Yeah, and it's surprising, really, because I'm not a huge fan of Billy Bob Thornton.
Wasn't that all ad-libbed?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No, because it was a short before. I mean,
he wrote the script.
I'm sure it was pretty loose. He did a fantastic job. Never to break character.
I mean, he became this guy.
He really did. Yeah. And you got to hand it to the guy. I thought Dwight Yoakam, I didn't know that was Dwight Yoakam, but I thought he was crazy good. And his band? rocked.
They didn't have a band.
No, it was a band. I'm getting the band back together.
We don't even have a band, Randy. Randy. Yeah, this is all about Thornton, man. You talk about something being someone's vehicle.
Yeah.
He's driving the car here.
Yeah. Well, he nailed it.
So you really like Thornton in this. You thought, well...
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not a huge Thornton fan. I really can't even pinpoint to why. I really liked Pushing 10. That was one of my favorite movies.
That was pretty
good. Yeah, I liked it. That's a great movie.
Well, Cusack does.
Yeah, but Thornton steals the show in that one, too. So, I don't know.
Do you feel like he slipped? Like, why doesn't he do more stuff like this? This is in him. What's going on?
I can't even think of... I mean, Bad Santa. I can't name another movie he's done.
Well, whatever the case, he can sure write a movie about French rabbitators and slow people. Let's talk to James Hartsup Savage here. You went...
Seven.
Seven? Yeah. Okay. You've seen this many times.
Many, many times.
Are you going to talk to me through seeing it this last time? Or are you going to more default to the first time you've seen it?
No, I can't default to the first time because it would have been a 10. For one, I'm automatically on guard against Southern movies because it's so easy to ham it up for the actors to over-Southern. And being a Southerner myself, it automatically pushes me out. And there were obviously some non-actors in this film that hit me wrong as far as, I mean, I understand the authenticity of it, and it kind of rang true in the language, but the acting skill, the chops weren't there. Mm-hmm. Lucas Black pulled it off. I think he had had one role before.
Adam was his accent.
I was going to say Adam was
no, and, that, and it still is his accent. Yeah, as a grown man, that's his accent.
I thought the kid was.
I have something
here.
About that too.
I like the kid. No,
I mean, really didn't like him because of the accent.
No, that's just how he talks.
I like the way he talks.
Exactly.
I really don't.
I like the way
Carl liked it too.
Right. But there's a lot of right with this. The story's great. The actors who are acting, you know, J.T. Walsh, I think he kind of stole it whenever he was on screen.
You know, a lot of actors say that they wished he would have been more known. A lot of people that worked with him said this guy was so good and so prepared. It was a shame people didn't know that about him.
Yeah. No, he was definitely a powerhouse in everything that he was in. I think there is a little bit overhype to it because it is kind of simple and there's kind of cliches and there's archetypes and tropes throughout this thing. I can't give it like the high love though. I just can't.
But would you give it its credence as far as being extremely ambitious in its uniqueness? I mean, it was like, we're going to do this and go all the way with it. If we're going to do Carl, we're going to do full Carl.
Yeah, no.
And but, I respect it for that.
But I've also seen the interview with Billy Bob and how he came up with Carl. You know,
he knew a guy like this.
Well, he was just muggy too. He was trying to make the ugliest face and the ugliest voice that he could. And then he came across this thing, you know, the Carl.
Yeah.
And there was this, and then all of a sudden he had this character that he could be, you know? Now, the short that, and this is where he raised the money for the film, when he shopped the short around the film circuits or the festival circuits. And I think the short is superior. The monologue in the short is a superior monologue shot in black and white.
Seriously, really?
Oh, yeah, with Molly Ringwald shot in black and white.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
But it was pretty much an advertisement for what he wanted to do.
Right. It was just a kind of a short. And that opening monologue is what it is. And then through the power of that short, he got the money to make this film.
Okay. Yeah.
And the climax was great. Dwight Yoakam was great.
Dwight Yoakam, man. How did he pull Dwight Yoakam out of the hat? Because that's not one you say, okay, I need this. Got to be Dwight Yoakam. How'd that even happen? Because
maybe he auditioned him.
Yeah,
maybe
that's right.
God bless, man.
Yeah, that makes sense. Country singer and all. But his look and everything even worked to the character.
I know him and Robert Duvall were friends. That's why he cast Billy Bob and the Apostle.
Apparently, Thornton's a cool guy. People that meet him say he's a cool guy. They like makes friends with him. Let's go to Max Gumbo Johnson. What do you like about this film? What got you up there to 9? Because you've seen it a lot of times, many times. I was wondering if it would rub off some of the luster a bit, but apparently not.
No. I remember watching it the other night. I was like, I remember seeing this the first time in the theater, and the girl I was going out with at the time got mad at me. She said, oh, you went to see Sling Blade without me. I said, hey, no problem. I'll go see it again. No problem. And enjoyed it just as much the next time I saw it. In fact, probably enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
Saw it a few times through the years. Hadn't seen it in a while. Really picked up on a lot more this time. Mm-hmm. Watching it, revisiting it. Stuff that, you know, on initial viewing, you really don't think about. You're just kind of watching it casually.
I did too, actually.
And then you watch it after a few years, and you're like, well, let me really pay attention to some of the little things here. Well, I did anyway. I picked up on a lot of ambiguity in these characters, especially Carl.
Yeah.
I mean, well, mostly Carl.
Yeah.
Because you can't say he was a bad guy, but at the end, you can't say he was really a good guy either.
I think he was a good guy.
I was wondering, you know, you go back, is he doing this for selfish reasons?
No, he's saving Frank.
But he wants to go back to
But he wants to go back to the Institute, right. too. But I think it served a dual purpose. Well, I can do some good, and I can go back to the Institute.
Okay, but Max,
and if you've not seen this, this is spoiler alert. He kills Doyle
with a lawnmower blade. Let me ask you this, though: as he's weighing things out, what's the good? What's the bad? He literally weighed it out like, okay, this is better this way.
But there's a third
for everybody, you know.
There's a third tier on that too, because it shows that he actually does go through a thought process.
Yeah, exactly. He goes through it. Yeah,
because
it's
almost established, like when he's at the dinner with John Ritter. And he's like, I want to know what you're thinking right now. You're in such deep thought. What are you thinking? And he's like, oh, I need some biscuits.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I like, wonder oh, if this guy
more
doesn't
that
have
potted meat.
Yeah, this guy doesn't have two thoughts going on in his head that can stick together. Uh-huh. And at the end of the movie, you know, he's put together this plan, a relatively simple plan, yeah. but very effective, by the way. Mm-hmm. It completely worked. So, yeah, he's got something going on. Yeah. He did good for the family, and he got yep. back to where he needed to be. So,
you know what
but
else,
But yeah. at the same time, I think our point is that he had a thought process here. If they could establish that he had a thought process, that's premeditated murder. And they let him out of a mental hospital, right. they could say, you're guilty of regular plain old murder because you're planned on murdering okay. this guy. Okay. We could send you to regular prison.
Well, let me tell you one thing about this, hospital. Though, is everybody in this movie assumes he's retarded. And what I liked about this film is he's not. This is a man completely functioning. He knows exactly what he feels, how to articulate many things. I mean, this is not a breakdown of a retarded person. I think that's the inside joke here. Carl's not slow. I mean, Carl has his faculties together.
Well,
I mean, this is just his petri dish of life, and he knows exactly who he is inside this world.
Yeah. I think a lot of that goes back to the. I mean, this is referenced throughout the movie. I mean, literally throughout the whole movie is, you know, the abuse he took from his parents.
Yeah.
I mean, they said he'd come out to beat me regular. You know, I mean, what, they would just come out there just to beat you every now and then?
And you know what? When he's telling this stuff, it's compelling because real quickly, let me tell you why I love this film, and it's all back to the script for me. Like you, Gumbo, I've seen this many, many times, but this time, you talk about an efficient script. Mm-hmm. I mean, before, to back Hoodie up on that great opening sequence, before you see the word Slingblade on the screen,
yeah.
I know who he is. I know his backstory.
Yep.
I know where he's going. I know what he's about. I know the danger imposed by letting him out within 10 minutes.
Yep.
It's efficient. So when you see him walking down the street with those books, you know exactly who this guy is. It's so well written. It would be easy for this film to hide behind the window dressing. Okay, here's a very obvious character, over-the-top character. And let's just make the movie about that, and you'll be able to quote it, and you'll love the film for that. Take that away. The writing here is spectacular to me.
It would have been easy to fall into cliches, which you said it did, and it doesn't.
No, it does. It falls into a trope. It falls into the magical minority who sees through everything, who sees the truth of everything. Either it's a child, or it's a woman, or a fairy, or the minority. It's the magical retard who sees through the heart of everything. I mean, it is. It's a trope. It's absolutely a trope.
I don't know, man.
I don't think that's what was all going on.
I understand what you're getting at. Yeah. I'll give you that, man. But I think it almost kind of
mean it's not effective.
It sets
but
it up
I don't
to
think
be
that's
that,
what it did. I don't think that's what it did.
Hey, look, that inspires me to go talk to Adam.
Yeah.
Adam, he's our magical producer.
Hey, what?
Because he gave it the score equivalent of his IQ, a 4.
Tell you what, we're talking about Sling Blade 1996. Let's let the producer do his thing. We'll take a bit of a break. Let's do a piece of the film, then we'll come back. But first thing, Adam, go. What you got?
Let's all stare at him while he talks.
Yeah.
Okay. The film isn't bad. Okay.
You gave it a 4.
Well, I have
that
my
means
reasons.
It's bad.
Okay. What are your reasons?
Billy Bob, this is his best performance ever. Hands down, each time I see this movie, I still do not see Billy Bob Thornton. I think Dwight Yoakam is fantastic, and John Ritter is great.
Okay, so no problem with the performances.
Not on those. Lucas Black annoys me to no end. I thought his accent was horrendous, and trying to make fun of Southerners. In fact, that's his real one.
Yeah.
I saw that he turned down the role for the Horse Whisperer. Because he wouldn't change his accent.
Well, that's the way he talks. I mean,
he keeps doing that. He gets turned down.
I don't know why you say he's making fun of Southerners. That's the way he talks.
Yeah.
It's horrible. He ruined a lot of movies that I was liking until he got in.
Like Tokyo Drift?
Like Legion?
Legion. Yeah.
I liked him in Legion.
Hey, wait a second.
Here's my problem. A lot of the thing deals with your script.
Okay, I love this
First of all, who lets a mental patient out with nowhere to go.
I don't know. Max is sitting here.
That's a problem.
Someone does.
That is a story problem. Let them know where you're supposed
to
go.
You don't have where to go, but you're going to leave. Right.
By the way, that was
who sets that up? There, right. Someone
that actually does happen, though.
It does happen.
So that's a legit
problem. Does he have anywhere to go? No, not really. I heard he's going back home. Well, you're just going to let him go? That's time's up.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's why they end up on the street.
That's what he said.
That's a legit actual problem.
Yeah. That's just dumb.
Okay, right, so you're getting hung up on the details.
Yeah.
The social commentary.
First of all, 11-year-old kid and Carl having deep conversations, you don't see that ever happening.
I don't know about
a kid that's 11 that is not going to have deep conversations like he is.
Well, he's in a lot of pain.
How deep were they, though? It was more like, I hate that son of a bitch.
No.
I mean, it really wasn't like deep conversations.
That,
stuff.
That boy lives in his own heart.
And you never
that's
saw
a mighty big place.
You only saw them having fun one time to where they look like they're friends.
But they liked the way each other talked.
They were sharing the potted meat. That was fun.
You know, in that scene too, man, when they talked about a little bit of a, just something real quick to tie the scene up and make it believable. I think I see one right there. I mean, that says so much about the scene that shows a complete unity between them.
And it was kind of established that the kid didn't really have friends anyway. Mm-hmm. So him coming along and being
football with him.
I don't know. That whole relationship worked for me.
I have a question to Adam.
And then the last thing is, at the very end where he's about to kill Dwight Yoakam, tells him he's going to do it 30 seconds before he does it, and Dwight Yoakam just sits there.
Yes,
Even though he's got a sling blade in his hand, he just sits there.
He's got a
lawnmower blade.
Lawnmower blade.
Let's get into that a bit. Listen,
it's just called lawnmower
stupid.
Blade.
Stupid.
When we get into scenes, I want to talk about that because I think that works, the fact that he had him pinned down and Yoakam knew it.
No, but, he didn't. He could have got up and walked away.
No.
He was too pompous.
Let me tell you why. Because at that point, you knew who Doyle was, and Doyle would never get up and walk away.
Doyle wasn't backing down from
Doyle. Doyle's not going to do that.
Doyle could have put his hand up and grabbed the sling blade or the lawnmower blade and swung back.
Doyle is such an a-hole, he's going to sit right there and make you make him leave.
Did you have a question for Adam?
No, he didn't believe that he was going to do it.
He didn't think he was going to do it. He was
even when he raised his hand, he's like,
stood up for like 10 seconds, was like, I'm going
to
do it.
All right, you know what we need to do? Let's
Hold on. I had a quick question for Adam. Yeah. You gave it a 4. You talked about all these things you hated about the movie, yet you started your statement with, quote unquote, every time I see this movie. How many times have you watched this movie?
Three times.
Okay.
Three.
You've watched it 3 times.
3 times.
That's twice as much as Matt.
So you watched it once, hated it, and then you decided to watch it again.
The first time I liked it. And then the second time I was like, okay. Right. And then now when I watched it like this time, I was just like, God, there's so many stupid plot holes.
You know what? Let's take a break right
You need to learn what a plot hole is.
Let's take a break right here. Savage, we come back. You're going to pick something up. Sure. Tell me about something in this movie.
I will.
Right here, let's take a break. Sling Blade, 1996. Are you ashamed to say you have not seen it? Sling Blade. We'll come back in a minute to talk about some scenes.
I picked up a Kaiser blade that is sitting there by the screen door. Some folks call it a Sling Blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. It's kind of a long wood handle, kind of like an axe handle, with a long blade on it, shaped kind of like a banana. Mm-hmm. Sharp on one edge and dull on the other. What the highway boys used to cut down weeds and whatnot. You know. Well, I went in there in the house, and I hit Jesse Dixon upside the head with it, knocked him off my mother. I reckon that didn't quite satisfy me. So I hit him again with it in the neck with a sharp edge and just plumb near cut his head off. Killed him.
Q Filmcast, Sling Blade, 1996. That's the film we're talking about. There's a piece of it. And let's get into a bit of this, guys. We're talking about scenes now.
Yeah.
And let's go over to you, Savage. Sure. Let's talk about scenes of this film. Now, when the film's done, you think back, I just watched Sling Blade, 1996, modern classic. What do you think of?
Well, as somebody who's seen it many, many times, I was surprised, like Max said, to go back to what he said. There, with a critical eye, I picked out things that I'd never noticed before.
Like what?
About the little brother, of all things.
The one that wasn't much bigger than a squirrel?
Yeah. You know, all the times that I've watched it, I just figured it was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I never picked up that it was an abortion, that they'd
deliberately aborted this pregnancy.
And I never picked that up until this time.
I don't think I did yet. What are you talking about?
It was prematurely born.
No, that's how I took it.
How?
No, because
what did we miss?
Because he said they somehow forced it to come out early.
Oh, they did.
And,
that's right. They did, Max.
And it didn't live longer for him to put it in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just prematurely born. Yeah. And then that makes it kind of more cruel that he kind of buried the baby.
So that tells even more Carl's story about who his parents were.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
See, I didn't pick up on that.
And I never picked up on that. And that goes back. But, and then go back to your point, is you kind of take Carl to be a simpleton, but is he really? Or is he just processing things on his level? Mm-hmm. Because he obviously can read. He's obviously coherent. He obviously can string together some premeditation.
Yeah.
So it isn't just like he's stumbling through thought after thought after thought. I never picked up on that till I watched it this time. And those scenes with that in mind, I think that it kind of changes the film. It still has some of the inherent flaws that I find with the film, but mm-hmm. I don't want to go into those. The scenes with J.T. Walsh, hands down great. The scenes with Dwight Yoakam, every one of them, he steals everything he's in, except for the one where Lucas Black is throwing everything.
You didn't like that?
No, that's what I was going to say. I love that. we can talk about scenes all day, but I think there's some little subversive things in here that it takes many, many watches to pick up on.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, it's not one that loses its luster.
No.
After several viewings, you find yourself picking up more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, I think that Carl is in no way is he slow. I think that his first 13 years, all he had was access to this kind of person,
right.
This kind of language. He gets shipped off to the mental institution. He's doing very well with everything he's been given. He hasn't been given much.
No.
But, I mean, he knows exactly how people feel. He knows how to navigate in between people emotionally. I don't see him as slow or retarded. I think that's what you pick up on more and more. As you watch these,
would you say he's more damaged?
He's just more damaged, but I think he's very deep. I think John Ritter had it right.
Well, it could be some autism stuff, you know, borderline autism or something.
Yeah. I don't think that's that. I think it was the abuse.
Yeah.
Brain damage.
I mean, there's definitely some social disorder.
Yeah, he literally might have brain damage.
Yeah, there's some social disorder, because it takes to the middle of the film where he actually looks somebody in the eye for the first time. And I think that's with the woman who brought him the flowers, where he's.
Yeah.
Like he's
now she was slow.
Blisters can hurt.
Yeah.
She was, that was just awkwardness. That wasn't a disorder.
That was hard for him to say. I mean, it was like you could tell that's all he had.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But he had the eye contact and he was willing to do that. So in that way, I mean, he's not a normal guy.
No, he's not normal, but I don't think he's unable to process. I think he's very much aware of who he is. You know, whatever. But I'm going to move over to Matthew St. Hoodie. It's your film, man. You queued it up. Talk about some scenes. What do you got?
Yeah, the throwing thing scene, that was my favorite.
Yeah.
That was your favorite scene?
It was probably the monologue was my favorite. The end, probably second favorite. And then, that was the one I want to talk about. And I just thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
I hate that I use the word fantastic so much.
You didn't use juxtaposition, so.
Oh, I like juxtaposition.
you're talking about the scene where Lucas Black goes crazy on Dwight Yoakam. Just starts, because that's all he can do is throw stuff at him.
Right.
And he's relentless with it. Just keeps throwing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he really does break Yoakam down with that.
Right. Puts him on the ground. It was.
But the build up of that for the end of the party scene, the end of the party that led
right,
him
but
to
yeah. My favorite part is that Billy Bob Thornton just sat on the couch, just stared, didn't break. I was staring at him the whole time. I actually rewound it and just watched him. Like, wow, that was great.
Yeah, all that intertwined between him and Yoakam and Carl, you knew something was brewing, didn't you? Yeah, you did.
About
it. Yeah.
But Yoakam kind of stole that, too.
Yeah.
He kind of stole that, too.
I love Doyle in this film. I'm sorry, but as a character, as an essential part of this film, what a great piece that is.
Yeah.
What do you think, Max?
Well, going back to the part where you said he was sitting on the sofa while he was throwing all the stuff at him, I can't remember if it was that same scene that was during the party scene where Dwight Yoakam was going crazy or anything. But there was a scene where Carl was all the way on the right side of the screen and everybody else was all the way on the left side of the screen. And he was just sitting there listening to everything that was going on. It's like he's just so far set aside as an observer of all of this stuff. And he's just taking it all in. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah, right.
He's never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, no, he has. Mm-hmm. He's seen his mom and dad act this way.
Maybe.
With him. And I never picked up on that. It's like, wow, here he is so separated and he doesn't say anything. He's just sitting there listening and all this activity and commotion is going on behind him because they were having this big, huge argument and blah, blah, just everything going on. Never says a word.
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, you'll notice. I mean, he's way over at this side of the screen.
Yeah.
Everybody else is over on this side of the
you
screen.
You get the sense often that Carl's saying to himself, I just got out of a mental institution. But these people are crazy.
Well, I think that's what triggered everything with him was I mean, I don't think I'm stating the obvious here. Well, I probably am. I take it back. You know, all the stuff with Frank, he saw himself in Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deal with a lot of that stuff. And he's like, you know, there's no reason he's got to go through this like I did.
Right, right.
I can do something about this.
I can fix this.
And yeah, I can fix this. And, you know, what are they going to do to me? They're just going to throw me back to this place.
He kind of wanted to be back in the middle of the season. Yeah. I mean, look, Bill Cox is locking him up at night with hard candy and magazines to entertain himself.
Yeah. He gave him a key.
And gave him a key. Eventually gave him a key. But, you know, the thing I liked about this film was everything was earned. You know, Dwight Yoakam, in the end, he earned that beatdown. Lucas earned that sacrifice from Carl.
Yeah.
Carl earned his way back to redemption. I mean, the writing in this thing, everything made sense. Everybody kind of came to a head. And it was just like, okay, this is all making sense. It's appropriate. I really liked Yoakam in this film immensely.
It was great.
For me, man. I mean, that to me makes the film completely.
And
what a great villain.
One other thought I had, I think it was, I can't remember, it was something you said where he's sort of an observer going through this and he can form thoughts and he can think of stuff. And I just thought of this. I think it was when he met his dad and he told him, yeah, I read the Bible.
Yeah.
I agree with most of it.
Right.
Right.
Is that what he, was that the word you said? I agree with most
of it. I couldn't understand most of it.
No, I couldn't understand some of it. Understand most of it or something like
that. It took him 4 years to read the Bible.
It took him 4 years to read it.
But still, I think I know where you're going.
But I think he did say some, at some point, he made an allusion that he doesn't agree with some of the stuff in the Bible. And I thought, okay, here's a guy that had Christianity or whatever they were.
Right.
Just pounded and beat into him. And now he's able to look at the Bible and go,
maybe not.
I don't really cotton to that part or that part. And then you see the baptizing scene. Like, okay, I know what's happening.
I love that scene.
This guy gets baptized because he knows what's coming.
What scene did you like?
Where he comes in with a hammer.
Yeah,
what are you doing with that car? What are you doing that hammer, Carl?
Why are you holding that hammer, Carl?
Yeah, that was weird. In the waterbed where he's trying to get up out of the bed.
That's right. Waterbed. I want to be baptized. And then he sits him down. We don't need any retards living in the garage, walking around with hammers and stuff.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, now that's legit, man.
Yeah. You know, one scene that my favorite scene, well, I'm going to say one of my favorite scenes, I loved Doyle getting the band back together. I loved it.
That was fantastic.
He says, damn it, Linda, I'm going to eat this chicken champ, but I'm going to get the band back together right now. Yeah, right now. And he gets the band back.
Go get my guitar.
And that's when you find out.
Now? Yeah, right now. Go help your mama.
How salacious. He's so salacious. He just is such a narcissist and a control freak. And that really sets the tone for, okay, you know what? It'd be nice if this movie, someone took a lawnmower blade and cut his head into.
No, you saw that coming from a mile away.
It sets it up. I mean, by the time he gets what's coming, Doyle earns it. And I think he earns it in that whole sequence there when he's just so bad to his friends. But I love that scene. That said so much to me about who Doyle was. He's just mean. Real quickly, go ahead, Adam. What you got?
My favorite scene was the one that Matt brought up with John Ritter and with that glorious head of hair.
Yeah, let's talk about John Ritter for
and where he's talking to Billy Bob in the
cafe? The diner?
Yeah. That was the best scene out of the entire
movie. That's a good one.
He's basically eating his French fried potatoes with mustard for the first time. And John Ritter's going to come clean with him and say, look, you know, you're getting into a bad situation here. You're saying you like that scene.
Yeah, that was the greatest scene. I thought John Ritter, hands down, stole the entire movie from and that one shot.
Stole the whole movie.
No.
He didn't steal the whole movie.
That was the best scene. The best dialogue in the entire movie, I thought. And then just Billy Bob's reaction at the very end, just like, I don't care. I'm eating my potatoes.
I like the ending scene between those two when he knocks on the door and he's basically saying, I want Linda and Frank to come to your house tonight. You've always been square dealing with me.
Yeah.
I don't think the God would attend you to Hades. That whole thing, you know, when he's talking about that.
Where he sees through the truth of the whole situation.
And, you know, to me, it's like, okay, look, you think I'm retarded. I know exactly what's going on here.
And then he makes the eye contact again, the strong eye contact again. So he's already crossed the threshold.
Yeah, he's almost staring John Ritter down, saying,
he is,
you know,
staring
what?
Him down.
I am on your level. You see me as inadequate. Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you. And you've always been square dealing with me. I want you to take care of these people. And, of course, his last line is, Carl?
Yeah.
As he moves on. What do you think of Bill Cox? I thought that was some bad acting.
He's a terrible actor. But he was also in The Apostle. So there's like this group of those guys.
I think he's sort of like a non-professional actor. He's trying. He's a character actor almost. Not a real good one. but I think he was just a local that they said, this guy. Yeah. Let's get him in the movie. Like,
this was his first movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was one of those things. It's like, look, we don't have much money here.
A lot of those locals.
That was probably his shop.
It probably was. It didn't seem.
Hey, would you want to? Could you do this? And I said, yeah, okay, yeah, it's good enough. We'll let you use
it. It's been in some great movies, though.
I don't think it damaged the film any, though. It kind of made it, like, somewhat charming, I guess. Yeah, you know?
He's no popping and a locking and Joe, but I'll give him some cred.
Yeah. Scooter. He couldn't act either.
But
they make a good double meat burger.
His accent was authentic, and I think he was going for that, too, because Southern accents are hard. They're hard to pull off, believably. And I think that's probably one of the reasons, budgetary considerations, but probably the believability of the speech.
This guy grew up in Arkansas, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. They were mostly locals.
He's probably a guy I went to high school with or something.
He's the voice of the Malvern Leopards.
Ah. It didn't seem too out of place.
I knew I recognized
it. No, it didn't. It didn't, but it did seem a bit stilted. You know, there wasn't the fluidity of a professional actor. And you kind of picked up on that a little bit.
I feel like he really, this is a love affair between him and his pen here.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote the hell out of this thing.
Yeah.
You feel the same way?
I just went up to a 10.
Did you really?
I did. I just saw it. He watched me. The more I think about it, and you know, I'm going back, I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. This, there's a lot to chew on with this movie. A lot more than you probably realize on a first or second or third or fourth viewing.
That's it.
So I'm moving up to a 10.
Go up to 10. What about you, Hoodie?
I'm sticking.
Sticking to what, 7?
Yep.
What about you? How many taters are you going? Are you up in your appetite?
No, this still has some flaws to it, and I'll stick with the 7.
I'm going 9 just because, unlike Dr. Strangelove, I didn't rip my shirt off.
Right.
When I rip my shirt off and I stand up on the coffee table and dance.
Did you double down?
I came close, man, because I tell you what.
So many times.
There's so much in this film that holds up for me.
Yeah.
That, it's close, but I'm going to stick with 9. What about you, Adam?
Just keeps getting worse each time I watch
it. Oh, shut up.
Every time I
watch
it.
Long live John Ritter.
Long live John Ritter.
But you know what keeps going up? Ginger Dead Man 3. Can't get enough.
Listen, this is the first film in our Walk of Shame round. And Hoodie, I want to say thank you for that. You leave
this
off. I want
to say thank you.
I want to say thank you for letting me talk about Sling Blade, because I would say it's on Netflix. It's streaming if you want to see it. If you haven't seen it, you'll be talking like Carl, even if you don't want to, because it is a blistering representation of
something.
Give us
a Carl Hoodie. Give us a Carl.
Give us a Carl Hoodie. Come on.
Come on.
There it is right there.
Yes, it was. That was good.
That was Carl right there.
Rub your hands together.
No. I'm done.
And listen, we're going to go to a trailer now. We'll come back in a minute, talk about our top three movie characters who had it coming, inspired by Doyle from the film Sling Blade.
Would you do something for me if I asked you to?
No, I would. Whatever you want.
When you leave out of here tonight, I don't want you going over and staying with that door. He's got it out for you tonight. I got me a feeling, too. You ought not be over when he's all liquored up and mean that away. Your mama neither. When you get up here and leave, I want you to go over to that feller's house. Your mama's friend. I want you to give me your word on it.
Okay. I give my word on it. Is everything gonna be okay? Are you all right?
Sling Blade, 1996. There's a piece from it, film we're talking about tonight, inspiring our top three film characters who had it coming. So let's get into this, guys. Let's round this out with that, and let's start out with Matthew St. Hoodie. Go.
What you got? The Bishop of Aquila.
Oh, he had it coming.
From Lady Hawk.
You talking about putting a spell on a couple in love?
Who does that? I mean, who does that? They were
evil
in
wizards.
Love. He's not a wizard. He's a bishop.
He put a spell on Navarre.
That's a wizard.
Isabeau.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, I'm going to have to revisit this film. I have not seen it in a long time.
So good.
Shame.
I remember liking it.
Good choice. I think he had it coming.
He totally did.
You can't put a spell on somebody, Gumbo. Come on.
They were in love.
Not people in love. You can't.
You know what? I love you, and you put a spell on me, so tell me your number three.
Whoa.
You like that? I always do that. You know that.
You're good at that. Good at that.
My number three, HAL 9000 from 2001.
You think he had it coming?
He had it coming.
Why did he have it coming, Gumbo?
Because.
But did he get it?
He got it. He died.
That's not the question. Did they have it coming?
He had it coming. He locked Dave out of the ship. Come on.
He locked Dave out of the ship.
Dave didn't do anything.
Dave. Oh, my God, Dave.
He locked Dave out.
Okay.
Dave was just trying to do his job. HAL totally sabotaged the whole thing. Screw HAL.
Let's talk about the producer over here. I don't want to screw him at all. Number three, characters who had it coming, producer. What you got?
Uncle Frank from Hellraiser.
I think he had. Oh yeah. He really had it coming. Why? So, what was it he did that really made him have it coming?
Let's see. He was sleeping with his brother's wife.
That's enough.
He tried seducing his niece.
I think that's enough to have it coming. And what came to him, by the way? Did he get eaten up by the hell creature?
No.
I can't remember.
Oh, and he skinned his brother. And
God.
The eternal lust that he could never achieve.
Yeah. My God, he did have it coming.
They totally grabbed him with those hooks and tore him apart. And he said, Jesus wept.
That's right.
Ooh, that's good.
I have a bit of a theme with mine. You know what I'm doing with mine?
No.
She had it coming.
Oh.
These are females who had it coming. I wanted to put a twist in
there.
All
right.
The ladies.
Look at you.
My number three, I'm going to go with Glenn Close.
That was my number one.
That was your official number one?
No, that would have been my number one lady.
My number one lady. I think she had it coming. You boil a bunny. You terrorize this guy after you seduced him, and you get shot in the bathtub, and you come up like a zombie out of the water. You had it coming, though.
So did he, though. He kind of had it coming.
He did. Everybody had it coming in that film.
Especially that bunny.
You think the bunny had it coming? You shouldn't have been so tasty. You had it coming. I'm going to say Glenn Close.
What if they went ahead and ate the bunny? I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't have.
Come on. Let's go to you, Hard Sub Savage. Yeah. Number three, who had it coming?
This one was kind of tough for me, so I'm picking some obvious ones. Emperor Palpatine.
Well, he was just overly ambitious and evil.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the evil part makes you got to have it coming.
The guy was trying to kill Vader's son in front of Vader.
Yeah,
that's
spoiler alert. Sorry, if no one's seen Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi.
He had it coming. That's for sure.
Right.
I think we have it coming with Matthew St. Hoodie's number three.
Between two guys, I'm gonna go with Chong Lee from Bloodsport.
Yeah. Oh, I almost put him on my list.
Absolutely, he had it coming.
I hated that guy. Never seen it.
Whoa. You should be ashamed.
Wow. I should pick that.
Right?
But I've seen it. I can't pick it. Damn.
Should I pick it? Number two for you, Max Gumbo Johnson. What's yours?
I wanted to go out of the box a little here and not pick some of the obvious ones. So I just went with my gut. Dodge Landon, the Tom Felton character in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. That guy had it coming.
Yeah.
The one that was the keeper.
Yeah.
That kept spraying the apes.
Oh, yeah.
And they took the cattle prod from him.
Yeah, that's just, right. Wow.
He's from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just stood up and cheered when the apes took it out on that dude.
And that's a good barometer here. Did you cheer when they had it coming? That's a good barometer.
You just felt great when that guy got it.
One of my favorite films. Yeah, he did have it coming. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
He plays such a good bad guy.
Yeah, he did in that one. Speaking of that, let's go over to the producer, greatest producer, number two. What is yours?
I actually did stand up and cheer when this person got killed in the movie.
What is it?
Paris Hilton in House of Wax.
it doesn't matter
anything about the movie, but she has it coming regardless.
I love it. I love that answer. Well, did she die or she just get
impaled in the face by a spear?
Oh, God, I love it.
I stood up and cheered when the credits started on that movie.
Paris Hilton getting impaled in the face. I like it already.
That's what made her a star.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that movie.
Awesome.
Oh, man.
Oh. Who's got that?
Yeah. It was a bit of a creeper. I got it. Yeah. Nicely done.
All right.
Good answer. Good answer there, producer. Is it up to me? It is. I'm going to go with the Wicked Witch.
Yep.
Because I'm talking about she had it coming. Yep. I think she had it coming.
She did.
You harassed Dorothy.
She killed her sister.
You know my biggest shame? Actually, not really. I've never seen that. It's not on Netflix. I don't think. Maybe
have you
kids
never
section.
Seen that? Oh, yeah, you know.
If it ever comes on, I'm going to pick it.
I'm not going to watch it.
The Wizard of Oz? Why wouldn't you watch it?
It's a point of pride.
I guess so. That makes sense.
Yeah. I've never seen Passion of the Christ.
Me neither.
If you've gone that far, you might as well go the distance. Right.
So since 1929.
I'm saying it now. I'm not watching.
But I'm going to tell you right now. When she was melting, she had it coming.
Yeah, haven't you seen the Sam Raimi movie?
No, I've not.
No, we're talking about the Wizard of Oz here.
No, we're... Never mind.
Number two, Savage, what you have?
Father Lewis from Pet Sematary.
Really?
Because you put the cat in there, comes back weird. You put your kid in there, comes back weird. You put your wife in there, she comes back weird.
How'd he end up getting what was coming?
His wife killed him.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
I can't remember the film too much. I watched it, I can't remember
it. He had it coming.
It was his selfishness.
Exactly.
It was like a dad.
Love.
I've just realized Pet Sematary is a Shakespeare play.
Aren't they all?
Everything is.
Aren't they all? Matthew St.
Pride brought him down.
Up to number one. So we're talking about Sling Blade. We're talking about top three characters that had it coming. We're up to number ones now. Go ahead. What you got?
There Will Be Blood, Eli.
He did have it coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Had it coming. What a worm. Wait, do you think he had it coming to getting beaten with a
bow? Oh, he had it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Daniel.
Did you cheer when he beat him?
I did.
Absolutely.
I cheered more when he beat him down in the mud.
It's all about the cheer.
I still cheer.
It really didn't matter. Just every time he got smacked around, I was on board.
Good answer. He did. You. He had it coming. Yeah, he really earned did. That beatdown.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Max Gumbo Johnson? We're talking about number ones. What you got?
I doubt anyone will have thought of this, but Charlie Prince, the Ben Foster character in 310 to Yuma.
Nope.
Oh, yep. Yep. Oh. Have you seen this film?
I have.
But it's a good movie.
Absolutely.
Which one?
Hated.
Good movie.
It was his It was Russell Crowe's secondhand guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, that guy. Hated him. And when Russell Crowe shot him, I was like, yes!
That's it.
Yes! Yes!
All right, so that's up to me, right? Number one, no. Adam. Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. Number, what are we up to? Ones?
Number one.
Number ones. Go ahead, reveal.
My favorite movie jerk of all time. He had it coming. It's the first movie I ever owned. Captain Rhodes from Day of the Dead.
I know it. I don't know the exact guy, though.
Nothing.
Why did he have it coming?
He was a jerk.
was he the guy?
He was the guy that got ripped apart at the very end.
Oh, yeah,
but he was the military. He said, it's the military operation, and he was going against the scientists.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the military guy. Yeah,
he was a jerk.
And he was a boosh dag.
Yeah.
A boosh dag, yeah, to revisit another phrase. Up to me now, number ones?
Yep.
Okay, my number one. I'm going to go with Nurse Ratched.
She didn't get killed, though.
Well, let me tell you something.
I'm saying? She had it coming.
She had it coming. She didn't get all she deserved, but when Jack Nicholson jumps on her and starts saying, I'm going to strangle you to death. She had it coming.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to reach through the screen and strangle her myself.
Me too. Join the club.
When you're talking about females that had it coming, that's the one. I was about pure evil. You seen this film?
I have.
What a bitch.
We talk about that all the time. We need to watch that.
What a bitch.
I was reading something, in fact, researching for this. And I said, Nurse Ratched, did she get killed or not? Because I wanted people to get killed. And a guy said, every time I watch this movie, I hope it's a new version where she actually, nobody grabs Jack Nicholson and she actually dies.
Right.
Savage, we up to number ones here.
Round
what
it
you
out.
Got?
Round
what
it out. Carter Burke, Aliens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he had it coming so bad.
You know what I like about this? It's a boosh dag that had it coming. That's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah.
You can intertwine those two.
Yeah.
Carter Burke.
It just sickens me.
So
with his hipster jacket.
Yeah. So that's going to end it right there, isn't it? Number one for you, and that rounds it out. We're talking about top three characters who had it coming. This could go, we could do a top 10.
Yeah.
The more I think about it. Put this out on Twitter, as I always do. I had a few come back. I'm going to read out some of my favorites here. I like this one. Kevin Dillon, my man, Kevin Dillon, 316.
Yeah.
I don't care. I like the answer. Marcia Gay Harden as the Bible thumper in Mist. Did you see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read the
She book. Had it coming. She had it coming. You know, I could have used that because I did females.
Yeah.
I could have used that.
You should have lifted Kevin Dillon's thunder.
No, that's the Kevin Dillon's
Oh,
answer.
Yeah. You right.
hated her.
How about this one? Chris Allen Gubats. At CARV Gubats says Alonzo Harris in Training Day.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. He had it coming.
This guy truly had it coming, and that is John Cowden. At John Cowden says, how about Zed in Pulp Fiction?
Oh, it's Zed.
Zed. I'm sorry, Zed in Pulp Fiction.
Zed's dead, baby.
Yeah,
he definitely had it. I mean, come on. He had it coming. You can't do that.
Right.
Bobby H. at Kid Minneapolis says Paul Reiser is Carter Burke Aliens.
That's right.
So there you go. There's your Twitter shout out. Let's get on with this one, guys. We're talking about next week's show. Produce it. What's the answer?
As much as I love this guy, I cannot believe I've never seen this movie. Mel Brooks' High Anxiety.
Wow.
What?
I've never seen it.
Anxiety.
Shame.
I have not seen it in so
Shame
long.
Shame on you, sir.
It feels like I've never seen it. Partial.
Shame on you, sir.
I've seen everything else, but not this one.
You know what? Years. I like the answer.
Me too.
High Anxiety. Next week, Mel, I almost said Mel Gibson.
That might be the best movie you've ever picked.
Yeah, it might be.
I have the soundtrack on LP. Would you like me to bring it in so we can play it?
You looking forward to seeing that, Max?
Well, actually, he picked Harold and Maude. He just didn't like it.
The only scene I remember was the pigeons.
So that's next week, guys. We're talking about High Anxiety. We're going to talk some Mel Brooks. And looking forward to that. And that's where this one ends. Sling Blade 1996, top three characters who had it coming. As always, thank you for tuning into the queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on this film that we just discussed, or I don't care, anything for that matter, you go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Join us again next week. Going to queue it up, knock it down, High Anxiety. And until then, we're going to queue it. We're going to review it. And however, until then, however it is you say, French fried potatoes.
I like potatoes.